Good morning, sir. Could you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
My name is Henry Delos Jr. My number is 09-04-9236.
Thank you, sir. You were here before the Arizona Board of Trade coming to you this morning in regards to a consumer you for a borrow or after a new charge, a home arrest. I'm going to introduce the board members who have got the hearing now. To my left and the far right of the bench is the Honorable Louis Canales. My name is David Neal. I'll be your panel chair. To my right is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. His right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse, and to her right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. All right, sir, I'm going to read some information about your case, about you, your history and everything. And every so often I'll check with you, see if it sounds correct to me. So you can listen to this, and then after I'm done with this, you'll have an opportunity to tell us all about yourself and what's going on. Okay?
Yes, very well.
All right. Mr. Diaz is 61 years old and is serving concurrent life sentences for attempted first-degree murder, first-degree burglary, armed robbery, and 3 counts of aggravated assault. The offenses were committed while Mr. Diaz was on work release for a burglary conviction. Also, he was convicted by a jury of this. Mr. Diaz became parole eligible on December 17, 2017, and was certified for this hearing on March 1st, 2018. And this hearing is in regards to a regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge. Mr. Diaz has appeared before the board for this sentence 3 times. The first time was a 412D, which is a part of the consecutive sentence, meaning there was had a special hearing, and at one time for regular parole, all were denied. Mr. Bears had a little programming and a very limited release plan. There was no support in the room this morning, and there was no support letters. There is a letter of opposition from one of the victims. It was dated March 24, 2018. And there is an email from the county attorney's office at the current time. Mr. Diaz has an excessive criminal record dating back to 1970 or thereabouts. It includes cattle rustling, burglary, crimes against children, robbery, auto theft, and forgery. He was convicted of auto theft, and prior to this sentence, Mr. Diaz had served 4 terms in prison with 3 paroles and 2 probations. He was living in a community corrections facility at the time of this, prior to this. And he was released with his co-defendant to look for work on August 15, 1990. He did not return. And he committed this offense on September 4, 1990, which was just about 3 weeks after he was released to look for work. His discipline record in prison is minimal, with his last ticket was in 2013 for positive or refused UA, which was a major. Okay, so on this offense, well, first, sir, does that sound fairly correct to you, the history and everything?
Yeah, except for one of them.
Pardon me?
Except for one charge that you read off. So it was not correct.
What was that?
That is the first degree murder.
Okay.
I was acquitted on this. It was first degree murder. because I was acquitted by the jury.
Well,
it's attempt to commit.
Yes, attempt to first degree murder. And it's showing that any according to Ames and all the files, it shows is one of the sentences. We'll discuss that a little further in a minute, sir. Okay, this particular offense, at approximately midnight on September 4th, 1998, Mr. Diaz and a co-defendant were robbed off at a bar. They both had shotguns and ordered everyone to the floor. Mr. Diaz fired a shot into the meat box at the time. I guess to emphasize what he mentally said, he went behind the bar and had the bartender open the register, and after removing the money, Mr. Diaz hit the bartender in the head with a shotgun. As the two offenders were collecting wallets from the patrons, two of the patrons decided that they were going to try to intervene, and they started fighting with Mr. Diaz. Subsequently, his co-defendant assaulted the two patrons. Co-defendant shot one in the back, and he hit the other one in the head with the shotgun. Two suspects fled, and an investigation led to the identification of the two offenders, and Mr. Diaz was arrested on September 18, 1990. Okay, sir. Now, I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about the offense. What was going on in your life and why you were inclined to do something like that. And then after that, you can tell us all about yourself and the improvements you've made in your life since you've been incarcerated. Okay, sir?
Okay. Well, my intentions, my first night in the city, I did not know where I was going to go. All I knew was I was looking for my wife. And when I found her, I acted like, it was a big surprise or something, but it wasn't. She knew where I was. And we started having a little fun together. It didn't work out quite as I thought it would. I don't know, it's just something that I had been away from for so long. And I know for a fact, if I had not been around her or my sister, this would have never happened. I allowed them to come into my life. And returning to prison, it hurt, but it's something that I knew better. And now I've got to pay for it. And I've got no objections to that whatsoever.
Okay. Well, back then, it seemed like you were in and out of prison and committing a lot of crimes as well. The fact that there was two women. Sir?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, it was there. They were the cause of that?
Well, yes, they were. Because everybody in my family knows that I cannot drink the liquor and go out into the street.
Well, your family knows, did you know it?
Not to get into an argument facing somebody, because I never really paid attention to it.
Okay, well, if you know and your family knew that when you drank that you would lose control and do things that you shouldn't be doing, were those two women giving me alcohol and encouraging me to drink, or?
Well,
Was he drinking because?
There was a party.
Okay. So, what have you done since you've been incarcerated that has, improved your disposition, changed your life, anything that you'd like to tell us about that would make you a good candidate for parole?
Well, I cleaned up more than I could even believe. I'm not doing drugs anymore, I'm not going out late at night anymore. I'm not doing a lot of studying still on anger management. Trying to keep that to just a bare minimum if I can. I don't like it no more, because I've come to realize that ain't nobody playing around here. Everybody's serious, and I got to be serious with that too. Because now I know it can lay me down for good, and I'm too old to be doing this anyway. I've got great grandchildren out there I need to see.
I'm going through the file here, and everything I find shows that I sent the first degree murder charge. I haven't found an appeal. We don't have a court record of an appeal for it. It would have overturned it, but according to all the paperwork we've got, that's one of the offenses that a jury found guilty of, and now you're doing the time for it. So it's still, even without that one in there, you've got five other charges that have life sentence. So your time in prison can be changed without that one in there. When you get released, if you get released, I shouldn't say, so that your daughter and her husband are willing to help you, if released, we don't have any letters of support or anything to back that up, but where would they go?
In Washington.
Washington State?
Yes.
Still back up there?
Lakeville.
Okay, I lived up there for about 3 years in Yakima, so it's a beautiful country up there. If you
get no.
Okay, well, if you were to get released on parole, you would have to get an interstate compact agreement for you to grow up there with them. And usually, you would also have to spend some time in Arizona to convince everybody that that you would behave yourself if you went up there. So, like I said, there's no letters of support. I understand that life is not being able to get a lot of the classes and everything, but I've also been told that all of the guards have the ability to be Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. And have you tried to do any of those or done any of those?
I've done some of them.
Pardon me?
I've done some of it.
Okay, did you complete any of the AA or 12 steps or?
I've got the first step in to the AA.
Okay. Well, it's not as simple as drugs, but alcohol can be available in prison. So if you have a real problem with it and you've been away from it this long, that's very commendable. So the other thing I would ask you is, if you were released, would you try to survive just strictly on your Social Security, or would you try to work? Or
I'd decide to try to work again. You know, walk into Cape Town.
What kind of work can you do? Or do you have a trade or some skills that you had before you were incarcerated?
Yes, I was a carpenter.
A carpenter, that's, father and grandson were present for a period of time in their lives. Okay, I'm gonna see if, if the board members have any questions at this time. Mr. Keenan?
Just a quick question. Mr. Diaz?
Yes, sir.
Is your concern about that murder conviction, the difference between being convicted for first-degree murder and attempted first-degree murder, or are you thinking that you weren't convicted for attempted first-degree murder?
No, I'm just kind of worried about, because the last time we came up here, somebody was very worried about that murder charge, and I forgot to say anything there, because my daughter was with me, and then when I went to reading it, I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, no, not first-degree murder, because people tend to thought about that stuff, and it shouldn't happen anyway.
But do you know that you were convicted for attempt to commit first-degree murder, sir?
Oh, yes. Yes,
oh,
yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr.
Mr. Keenan, sorry about that confusion. Everything is the attempt, and there was no mention of first-degree murder. I didn't see anything about anybody actually dying. Any other questions from the members? Mr. Johnson?
So I'm still a little bit confused. I know Mr. Neal asked you this question a little bit, but you said that the reason why you did this was because of the ladies, because they knew you weren't supposed to drink and that when you drank, you get violent. And then Mr. Neal asked you the question, so did you know it too? And you said basically, can you just explain that? So, I mean, you said it was the lady's fault, but why wouldn't you know if you get drunk, you get involved and you get violent? So why wouldn't you know that?
The witness to that was my sister. She was the one that was taking it on, and I got uptight. And I decided, okay, you know what, we need to talk, fix our relationship. Because she's my little sister, and I hadn't spoken to her in 12 years. And when she started arguing and asking and begging, I just said, you know what, I'll take care of the problem tonight, because I'm going back. And now you gotta be back, because I'm just completely thinking.
So I'm just trying to just really understand that. I'm just not, in my mind, I'm just not getting it, sir. But, If you are that impressed, who dropped you off, sir? I mean, you went there.
My sister did.
And you guys already had pre-planned it because you had shotguns. One went in the front, one went in the back. So you were so intoxicated you couldn't recall, be aware of what was going on or what you were doing?
No, I couldn't be aware of it because I knew what I was doing. So, I'm trying to satisfy someone, which meant a lot to me.
So,
with my sister and my wife.
So at this point, you...
Except them. Yes, sir.
So at this point, you're basically saying that it's the responsibility of your sister and the ladies that caused you to do this, that had it not been for them, you did make a statement, had it not been for them, you're certain that you wouldn't be in this situation.
That is true.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Any other questions? On that subject, I have another question or two. You were in the community corrections facility from prior convention, and they let you go out for work. So it seemed like they were helping you prepare to be released and not be in prison anymore. And it's probably 20 days after they let you out to look for work, which you didn't return to the facility when you were supposed to. But 20 days later, then you got involved in all this stuff. So in that 20 days from the time you left the work center or correction center tell you this offense was committed? Did you go back and understand with your sister?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'm my mind's similar to Mr. Johnson on this. I just can't understand how your sister could have that much influence on you to get you to do things like, you know, your history of things. Okay, sir, we're coming to the close of your hearing. Before we run the discussion to make a determination, we'd like to give you an opportunity to have your last statement, give us any more information you think might be pertinent, but we just ask that you don't repeat yourself and repeat anything that that you told us before this new information.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you all for taking your time to hear me out. 90% of the items that I did just for care and concern, I guess you can say, for my sister. She was really important to me at the time. We never really had any time growing up in the same environment. And every time she'd ask me something, I would say yes. My stepfather, he used to tell me too, "Hey, little girl's gonna get you in trouble." Well, I believed it slightly, but I believed it a lot because I knew that they were abusing her. So I had to get her away from California, where she was, and brought her here to Tucson. And then I got a ratchet and started doing one number. And I just set the place up for her to go to live there for a little while. And it never did work. I couldn't settle her down, so I just said, "Forget it, I'm not even going to try. I'll get out of prison and be happy." Well, I did another 5 years for it. And I couldn't reach her, so I had to leave it alone. After I did get out, though, I seen a different person. It was too late to try to change her. She was already doing what she was doing, and there was nothing I could do about it. So I used her car, just like any other car that they use, and I asked her to let me use it. And she did. And I went out and did my first robbery here. And decided that's what I'm going to do. And got nobody helping me right now. Why should I? And I did, I went out cold robbery. No reason whatsoever just to do it, because the money was there. So why not do it? So I did. And I regret every second of it now. I should have never done that, because I would be at home with my wife, and my kids. But now it's too late. And that will do it, gentlemen. I thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. The board is going to run the discussion. We'll be talking with ourselves to make a decision. We ask that you stay on the phone, but remain silent while we're in discussion. And I'll get back with you once we've made a decision. Okay?
Okay.
Board is now in discussion. This is a complicated case to go through and figure out, but it's just very unfortunate that Mr. Deans is pushing a lot of blame off on his sister. But she may have been influenced, but I would think that after this much time, it would be ideal. And not trying to push him and blame off on her, but his history, his criminal history, is very, very extensive, and it's obvious that he doesn't have much regard for the rules of probation and parole. And it worries me that he hadn't seen his sister for a while, she may come back in his life like before. I just, you know, with everything involved, I'm very hesitant to even consider any kind of release at this time. But I'm willing to hear discussion from any of my fellow board members.
I agree.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion, based on all the information we have, I'm making a motion to deny Mr. Deal's withdrawal, home arrest, or active discharge. And the reason are the serious violation, trauma victim, there's some serious bodily injury, multiple victims. He violated previous parole and probations. And he's a history of assaulting behavior in prior criminal history, repeat offender. Lack of program, poor release plan. And no, lack of family or community support. Unless there are other...
These are the one you set up.
Set up.
Okay.
Now, let's see. Yes, okay, and I'll go for one more before. And I believe that would be everything, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed. Okay, Mr. Deal, the board has unanimously voted to deny you parole, home arrest, or active discharge at this time. And I read all of the reasons. Did you hear all the reasons I stated?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Like I said before, I suggest that you try to get, you know, continue with the AA and NA because that'll help you in and out. It's a very good program for people that have abuse problems like that. When you wish you luck, maybe you would like to see you get to a point that we can grant you unrest and if you behave yourself, you can go beyond that, okay?
Okay.
This one is here, and we put the CO3 on the motion.
Yes, I will.